Das Radar ist ein Mensch, der ist geschlagen, wenn Yehudim sagt, dass Ksubet Af Chauches. Sagt der Mischner, was Chayib in a Katzev, who was a Koyen, was in a situation where his wife was in a city under attack by an army. He said, I swear that her hand didn't leave mine from the moment that the Goyim came into the city until they left, and therefore I know she was not violated. They said to him, a person is not believed to testify on his own behalf. Zach the Gemara Bryce says, although he wasn't permitted to live with his wife anymore, he was allowed to have a house for her in his own courtyard, and she would make sure to never be there without some of her children, so that shouldn't be a yichud issue. Abaye asked, may a kohen create this setup for a divorcee also, or is it only because it was in that case we were lenient because it was a case of a shvuya? The Bryce says that a woman who is divorced should not remarry and live in the same neighborhood of her husband, and if he's a kohen, she should not live in his mavoi, even if she has not remarried. We see that certainly it would not be allowed to live in the same courtyard as a former husband. Who would have to move away from the other in this case? So Abraisa says she has to move away, but if it was her house, he's the one who has to move away. What if they each own a house in that courtyard? So Abraisa says that she has to move away from him. That's what the Abraisa had said. Now, if that's discussing where it's his courtyard, that's pshita. It also can't be discussing where it's her courtyard, because then it would be he has to leave, not her. So it must be that they both own houses in that courtyard, and we see that she's the one who has to move away from him. Maybe the case is where they're both renting houses in that courtyard. If so, what's the halacha when they both own houses in the same courtyard? To Rav learns from a pasuk that's more difficult for a man to be misplaced than it is for a woman. Therefore, it makes sense that she's the one who has to move away and not him. So Gemara Brisa says, if a kohen borrows money from his wife and then divorces her, he has to repay her through a shliach so that they not get together and have feelings for each other again. Rav Sheisha said, if they come to us in Bezin to deal with this loan without a shliach, we don't take on the case. Rav Papa said, we even put them in chayim for doing so. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said, we even give them malchus. Rav Nachman said, Bryce says that a shliach is only necessary when they were divorced from the suan. However, if they were divorced from the erusin, they may deal with the loan directly because they don't have that special feeling for each other as a married couple had. We see from the story, though, that took place in front of Rava, that even if they were only divorced from the erusin, if we see that this couple is especially close, we would require a shliach to be used. Zak the Mishnah. The following testimonies may be made by an adult regarding something that he witnessed as a child, as a minor. One can testify regarding the signature of his father, of his Rebbe, or his brother, even if they died while he was still a minor. He can testify that he saw a woman getting married with a henuma and with her hair down, proving that she was a psula. He can testify that a particular child would go and be toivel to eat truma, proving that child was a kayan. He can testify that a person would get a portion of the truma at the granary. He can also testify that a particular area is the base of pras. He can also testify that he would walk up to a certain point on Shabbos, which shows where the tchum of the city ends. However, a person is not believed to say that a person has a right of way through another's fields. He can't say that he remembers that, or that a certain right of use of another's property, he can't say that either, because these are monetary claims, and as such, need two valid witnesses, and one person alone is definitely not enough. Zak the Gemara, Hunan, the son of Yeshua, said, the person is believed only when he has a person who witnessed the subject of the testimony as an adult testifying along with him. Gemara says, the mission needs to give the case of the handwriting of the father, the Rebbe, and the brother. All three are necessary. Why? Because if it only give the case of the father, we would say he's believed in that case because the son is often with his father, and therefore he very much recognizes the signature of his father. If it only say the case of the Rebbe, we would say he's believed only in that case because the fear of his Rebbe is what caused him to remember his handwriting exceptionally well. If we would only say those two, we would say regarding his brother, he's not believed because he doesn't have either advantage. The mission therefore teaches that this document authentication, since document authentication is only the Rabbanon were lenient. The mission had said, Zachar Hayisi, Beplainish Yatzla Vechulu, since his testimony is used for the amount of his ksuba payment, why is he believed to say that she must have got married as a psula because she went out with that chuppah of psulais, etc.? Mara says, since most women get married as a psula, it's not considered to be a real full testimony. Mishnah said, Bishahaya ish plaini yaitz mi beis ha-sefer v'chula. In fact, maybe the person is the slave of a kohen, which is why he's allowed to eat truma. So the fact that he says he remembers that this child was pulled out of yeshiva to go eat truma doesn't mean he's a kohen. Mara said, this is a proof to Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says that you're not allowed to teach Torah to a slave. So the person being taken from the yeshiva could not have been a slave. In fact, my Bryce says that if a slave reads three psukim as an aliyah, this does not mean he's free. It must be that a slave can learn Torah. So my Rav Shmuel Levi meant that you're not allowed to treat a slave like a Jewish child and teach him Torah. The Bryce is discussing where he reads on his own volition. That is allowed. The Mishnah said, Litbo lecha b'truma. The Gemara testimony of such a person is only believed with regard to truma derabbanon. The Mishnah said he's believed to say v'shahaya chaylik imanu al ha-goyren. In fact, maybe he was a slave of a kohen who was receiving a portion for his master. Our Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Yehuda and a braisa that says that a slave may not get a portion unless his master is there with him. Rabbi Yosi argues in a braisa and says that he may. The Gemara explains Rabbi Yehuda held that way because in his area people would elevate someone for yuchsin if they saw him get a portion of his truma. They would not do so by Rabbi Yosi, so he did not have that concern. A braisa says, our beloved son Rabbi Yosi said, I never gave testimony except for once, and through that testimony a slave was elevated to the status of a kohen erroneously. We know that Hashem doesn't even allow bad things to Averis to happen through the animals of Tzaddikim. They surely wouldn't let something bad happen through the action of a Tzaddik himself. Mar says he meant that they almost elevated a slave to the status of a Kohen based on his testimony, but they actually did not. What happened was he had seen a person who was a slave get a portion of truma in the granary, but that was in the area of Rabbi Yossi, and he gave that testimony in the area of Yehuda, where they were ready to elevate his status based on that. Mishnah said he's believed to say Shamakam Hazeh Beis HaPrasu. The Mar explains such a person can be believed about this because of Beis HaPras only in the Rabbanon. Abraisa says a person is believed to say that when he was a child, he heard his father say that a particular family is valid or possible, or that he remembers that kitzotza was eaten at the wedding of a particular woman, or that he himself would bring challah or matnas kuna to a particular kohen. But again, it's only if he himself brought it, he can't rely on the fact that others brought it. If these people were goyim who converted or slaves who were freed, those people would not be believed to say what happened before they were kosher. Also, this person is not believed to say that a person has a right of way through another's field, or he has certain rights of the use of another's property. Rabbi Yechon and Berke say they are believed. What is Rabbi Yechon and Berke arguing on? On which case? It can't be on the last case, because that's a monetary claim. Clearly, we need two valid witnesses. It must be he's arguing regarding the guy who converted or the slave who was freed. Rabbi Yechon and Berke says that they are believed to say what they saw as a guy. The point of Machlokes is the Tanakh Amah holds that since he saw the incident as a guy, he was not careful in his observation and resulting testimony. Rabbi Yechon and Berke holds that since he had intent to convert, he was careful. Fact number, what's a kitzotza that we mentioned over there in the Braisa? So a Braisa explains when a family member would marry someone of tainted lineage, the other family members would take a barrel of fruit, break it into the town square, and tell everyone to take some of what came out of this barrel, to act as a way, as a remembrance, that it's only the lineage of this particular person that should be tainted and not the rest of the family. So if he says he remembers such a thing happening, then we believe him. Hadnalach perek ha'isha shenis armalah.